This episode of iRescue Radio is brought to you by ProCPR.org. Online CPR training, when you want it, where you want it.
And welcome to iRescueRadio.com. I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
And he's angry.
Angry? Wow.
It's facial expressions.
Oh.
I think he's angry.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
About what?
I don't know. He hasn't told me yet.
It's about his dog.
He says it's because he's hungry, but I don't think so. Buggy head. Oh, you numbskull. Reminds me of my drill sergeant.
Yeah.
You numbskulls.
Well, I'm not angry.
What'd you say?
Because I'm not angry.
I'm not angry. Can we go out to eat? Can we be buddies and friends?
Somebody say lunch.
Well, listen to this. Mm-hmm. Everybody, I think, most people, I shouldn't say everybody, but most people have heard about what just happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I was watching it.
You saw it happen?
Well, I didn't see it happen. I watched the after effect online, like 15 minutes after it happened.
Did any cameras catch it?
I don't think any cameras actually caught the plane going down. It was shortly after it was went down.
I got to believe shortly within YouTube there will be, because there were office buildings and eyewitness accounts of the downing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Watched it. People flipped their phones open and start hitting video.
Well, and the Hudson River is pretty active.
Yeah.
I'd say there's security measures there, wouldn't you?
I would think.
Yeah. Well, anyways, for those of you that didn't hear about it, 155 people on a U.S. Airways jetliner crashed into the Hudson River. Now, the good news of this is that not one of them died.
Not a one. That's awesome.
In 40-degree river water.
Yeah.
And how far did they float down river in the plane that did not sink to the
bottom? Well, they didn't. The plane went 4 miles.
Yeah.
They were off.
Yeah. From what we read, the moment that thing hit, there were ferries boogieing.
Yeah.
Get up to the plane. So people were getting evacuated.
What I was impressed with. I can't believe how fast people responded to that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That was really
inflated.
Cool.
And,
well,
you know, the most incredible part is not one person was injured on the impact. Well, I shouldn't say not
no,
one.
No, I'd read that there were some broken bones and things like that.
I mean, no fatalities, though, from just the impact alone.
Sure.
And that's pretty amazing.
Absolutely.
They're calling it the miracle on the Hudson, which is cool. I mean, this is a God-given miracle that anybody did not lose their life, even from hypothermia. I mean, you make it through the crash, that's one thing. The plane looked fairly intact, and it sounds like the pilots did a bang-up job.
No pun intended.
Sorry. I didn't even think about that.
It was more of a sploosh-up job, but that's okay.
Well, Martin Sosa, father of a child, said, "It's good to be alive today. Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe we just survived that." On NBC's Today. Well, anyways, the pilot guided the hobbled U.S. Airways jetliner over New York City and into the frigid river with an impact one passenger described as little worse than a rear-end collision.
Yeah.
All 155 on board were pulled to safety as the plane slowly sank. Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's incredible.
The amazing thing. Is. Can you imagine the pilot, the way that the plane had to have landed? It's amazing because it was just shortly after takeoff.
Yeah.
So the plane to be able to even land it there in the river, not on some buildings, not more than how many feet was this? Are we talking 500 yards to the other side of the river? I don't know. But you think of where he landed that. It's a small area for an airplane like that to land.
Well, it sounds like he hit the flock, the pilots hit the flock of birds shortly after takeoff.
But they say oftentimes it hits one engine, but rarely two.
Yeah.
And it's rare to hit it with one.
But it took out two.
And he said that in the black box right away.
Yeah.
I caught birds in both engines.
Amazing. Amazing. And you think of all the people that were treated over, what was it, 50, what was it? I don't know the number exactly, 78 people? Yeah, paramedics treated 78 patients for hypothermia, bruises, minor injuries, but everyone survived.
Yeah, I saw them going across on those boats. They were shivering. I mean, they were just freezing. Oh. I can't imagine. Oh. But thanks be to God, they all survived, which is great. Now, some people might be thinking, what's the psychological impact of that? And they did a little thing on CNN. Dr. Raison, I hope that's the way he says his name, R-A-I-S-O-N, said that the psychological impact of an event like this is likely to be overwhelming. Mm-hmm. He added that humans have an inherent fear of heights, and this is their worst fear come true. You think? He also said that more people die in cars than in planes. Everybody says that.
That's true, though.
But there's how many more cars than planes, though?
Exactly.
Anyways, but most of us don't fear driving. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a healthy dose of apprehension about flying. Now, Dr. Rayson said data showed that the people who are hysterical now are likely to be the ones with long-term psychological complications. Mm-hmm. It's largely a myth that the ones who are taking it in stride now will feel it later. Now, he said that some people will walk away from this experience feeling like heroes, mm-hmm. regaining faith in the human condition. Others will look back at how they acted, pushing and shoving, and feel guilty for not helping others. Others will be a complete psychological... Leave that to your interpretation.
There you go. You know, you think of that article, and it's pretty amazing because... You think of the people that are hysterical at the accident. You think, oh, they're going to be fine because they worked it all out there. You know what? I think people that are hysterical are just that. People that
they're
are hysterical.
They're always hysterical. Well, honey, it's time for the dentist.
So I think that stands to reason.
Yeah.
But the ones who are just kind of taking it in stride now, it could have been the hypothermia, and later on they'll feel it. I don't know.
Exactly.
But it is pretty amazing when you think of the psychological impact of emergencies and rescue. But yeah. There's a lot to that.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got to wonder how many of those people just thought, that's over. We're going down.
Game on. Yeah. You know, I read in that article, one woman actually took the time, from the time that the plane was going to crash, she had time to text her husband to say the plane is crashing.
What a horrible...
You know, how many of us have ever wondered, oh my goodness, if you're seeing a major
incident
occurring to your life, what would you say?
Not the
Lord
plane.
Jesus, I love you.
Yeah.
That's what I hope
Forgive
I would say.
Me. Forgive me. Protect my family.
Right. Mm-hmm. And to my wife and children, I love you.
Yeah.
She texts... The plane blow is going to crash.
Blow by blows. We're now at 20 feet above water level.
I mean, I'm not judging her response to this.
No.
But it is
interesting.
Of all the studies we read, and I was just commenting before the show, there's a lot of people that do studies.
Yeah.
Blows my mind. It's a whole industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wonder how many talk to people who have survived a major impact and recall what they said when the moment was occurring.
Yeah.
Or what they did, or what their last thoughts were that weren't, ouch, or how do I get out of this?
Yeah.
It would be interesting to know.
The famous man that was one of the leaders in taking out the terrorists on that plane crash on 9/11. Mm-hmm. I mean, he told through an operator, a 911 operator, tell my... Wasn't that true?
If I remember right, he said, tell my wife and children I love them.
Yeah.
And then he went to take out the terrorists.
And then the famous let's roll. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if he talked directly to his wife. Was he on the phone with her?
I don't remember.
I can't remember. Yeah. So sorry for that bit of mixed up history there. But clearly there are people that truly have heroic in their making.
Yeah.
You know, they're born
rise to the occasion.
Leaders.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really. Yeah. And I've always said, you know, the majority of people are not leaders because we see that in EMS. Mm-hmm. Out of, you know, 20 people standing around a cardiac arrest patient, you might get two. I mean, the statistics are 1 out of 10
mm-hmm. right.
will get involved. So 2 out of the 20
right.
will actually do something about it. The rest get into a gawk fear. Mm-hmm. Funny story. My wife and I and kids, quite some time ago, were going to a circus during the Holland Tulip time out in Holland. We're at that little stadium that's out in Holland. You know what I'm talking about? It's real run down. They'll have little circuses there and things like that. But other than that, I don't think it gets a lot of use.
Right.
Well, anyways, there's a lineup, though, for this circus that stretched way out the door and went way out to the street. I mean, it was jam-packed. And it's hot. I mean, it was hot outside. Yeah. We had little ones with us. And we're just like standing there, and the time for the circus is getting closer, and standing there, and people are in line. And I look to the left, and we're about probably halfway in the line, so we weren't the back, but we weren't the front either.
Yeah.
And I look, and double doors are wide open on the left-hand side. The right-hand side, they were closed. Left-hand side, they were open.
Mm-hmm. You mean like...
I said, honey, I think it's open. Nobody else was going in there. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the people that were running the circus looking out the doors. Oh. Like, what are you guys doing?
Oh, there you go.
And I said, it's open. Let's go. So we took off to the left, got right in. First ones in the door.
That's funny.
But then after that, you saw people looking back and forth like, what just went on? And then half the line right in that other side. The doors were jammed on the other side. They'd have never gotten in those doors. But that's always taught me that theory that people will tend to want to follow suit. And there's actual studies that show that.
Oh, sure.
They did that in a double-blind study where they had students, I think, in a classroom, and they'd knock over a ladder in the hallway.
Yeah.
Right? And how many of them?
Yeah.
And the other two were told not to get up no matter what.
Yeah.
Right? just to see what is the human...
They were the placebo.
Yeah, yeah. They were the what do they call that? They were the control.
Yeah.
Right? Control. Right. Or one was told not to get up no matter what or whatever the case may be. Yeah. But anyways, you know, so I don't want that to be derogatory, but doggone it, let's revive some leadership, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I think that there was some real leadership. You can't get 155 people out of a plane without some serious leadership.
Yeah. Without people getting crushed.
Yeah.
Yeah. How often does that occur?
With a plane filling up with water.
You guys, listen. And people died at Walmart.
Yeah.
Because of Christmas present buying. Yeah,
exactly.
And here you've got 155 people trying to get out of a plane or they're going to die, and none of them died.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're talking about it during the inauguration.
Yeah.
They said up to 1 million or 7 million people will show up. That's kind of an estimate.
Wow.
But they were talking crush levels on the subway.
Oh, you're kidding me.
I didn't know they had that level.
Oh, my word. You mean people dying because of getting crushed?
Well, just the influx of people, it's going to look like,
mayhem.
It's going to be mayhem. It could be. It might not be. Hmm. But, you know, one person yells something stupid.
Fire or terrorist or whatever. Bomb. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And they're in prison.
And it's, well, if they survive it, they catch
it's the herd
of cattle coming at you.
I wouldn't want to be there. No. I want to be there, but I wouldn't want to be there. Does that make sense?
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't want to deal with the masses.
Right.
But
if I was there by myself, I'd probably want to do it, but as a family.
In a helicopter. In a tank.
Ever. Mm-hmm. I will never get in an helicopter.
Wow.
Ooh.
See the psychological fear coming through.
Fear of heights.
Fear of heights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, you don't even have to fear simple surgeries anymore because there's a simple surgery checklist that saves lives. Did you guys read about this?
I did read that. I thought the pretty cool thing on that was that death rates dropped from 1.5% to 0.8% after this is instituted.
That's like half.
I just really want to know, they've never had checklists before?
Yeah, I think
they don't open heart surgery.
You know, they have.
Yeah.
But I think this is a more targeted, specific. They don't, like, the article doesn't say what specifically they're asking in this thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had surgery before. I had knee surgery. Mm-hmm. And I remember them asking all kinds of questions and things.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor actually drew on the right knee, which need to do surgery on.
Yeah, exactly. If they start scribbling on the wrong knee, you've got things to worry about, my friend.
I was thinking making sure, like, the, you know, they're not doing a surgery and the, you know, taking intestines out or something. Yeah. I was thinking about writing, like, not here, stupid, or something. Yeah.
stay within the lines.
Yeah.
And then somebody dumped two crosses you and put another line somewhere else.
Well, but there's stories, though.
I don't want to make the doctor laugh. He's got scalpel in here.
Yeah, exactly.
There are real stories, though. People actually having the wrong leg amputated.
I know. But there's lawsuits on that
stuff. I worked on a landscaping crew. We made sure we had all our tools before we headed out on the road.
I know. Yeah, who knows? I mean, we can all kind of guess as to why that happens and things like that. But anyways, the study, which included 7,688 patients in 8 hospitals around the world, saw death rates drop from 1.5, as you said, Jody, to like around 0.8% afterward. That's significant.
Cut in half.
Serious complications fell from 11% to 7%, which was almost half. And the study sites included Seattle, London, Toronto, New Delhi, and Ifakara, and Tanzania. I say...
Mm-hmm.
We were not anticipating such a dramatic reduction, said lead author Dr. Atul Gawande, an associate professor at the Harvard School of Public Health and staff writer for The New Yorker. We had initially planned the size of the study to pick up a 15% reduction in complications. The checklist comprised 19 items to be carried out throughout the surgery. 7 before anesthesia, like, are you the right patient? Mm-hmm. That's always a good yeah. one before you gas them.
Yeah.
Or before 7 cups of coffee, which we'll yeah. talk about later. Yeah. 7 just before the first incision. Mm-hmm. Now, okay. So, they didn't ask the patient.
It's a checklist.
There were yeah. 7 more checklist questions to ask right. before the incision, like
and then probably
right arm, right patient, up. Right yeah. date, right time, yeah. right organ.
Hence the drawings.
Right doctor. And the rest before the patient leaves the operating room. Mm-hmm. Like, should we tie that back on? Should we replace that?
Well, some that I read that were very interesting. Do we have all our cotton swabs?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
My wife, classic example, and our last child.
Jody,
they stitched. They're all stitched up. When she had the C-section, she had her all stitched up, and they're all counting. I'm sitting there in the in the operating room,
Jody,
and I'm holding her hand, and they're all looking around the ground. And everybody beforehand was joking, kidding, excited about the baby, la da 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 da.
All of
a sudden, the whole place went silent. Everybody's looking on the floor.
Did they lose?
And I'm looking around, and I'm saying, "Are you guys looking for something?"
I got him right
because,
here.
Because everybody's looking on the floor, looking around, and silent.
No.
The doctor, he didn't want to, he didn't want to say, but I knew what he was looking for because I've had to be in OR times
yes.
for training and everything else. So I knew he's looking for a sponge because she has 11, and they had 12 to begin with. So he right away took all the stitches out, opened everything right back up.
Was it there?
Sure enough, right high in the abdomen, left the sponge.
It wasn't in there, no. Jody.
It was, but they stitched it back up. But they caught it and didn't let it go, though, so I was very thankful for that.
Yeah, nothing even began knitting
because
together.
Because if they said, well, just forget it, we know we got it, it would have caused a terrible infection.
I think you're right. So a lot of those leave the operating room is, right. Do we have all tools?
Right.
I mean, there's been big things left in before, like clamps.
Yeah. So I was happy that they did what they were supposed to do. They counted it. They did not relent. They did not stop until they knew.
That's
they had
awesome.
So I was.
That's
that
awesome.
Was right.
Yeah.
No, so the left went in.
Sure.
It can happen.
We're human.
But they did the right thing. And got
they
it.
Did the right thing and yeah. corrected it.
Yeah.
Why can't they leave things like carrot sized diamonds?
Like
there?
Money. Yeah.
Yeah. Gold. You know.
Our doctor's engagement ring.
Yeah.
Possibly. Yeah,
right.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. Kind of like Mr. Bean with the turkey.
Sure.
Yeah.
If you're going to leave something in there, leave something of
leave
value,
something
please, great. Not stainless steel.
Doctor, leave your Rolex so we got something to work with afterwards.
Got high levels of lead in this person. Mercury levels.
I hear
just
two heartbeats.
The
what the heck? And one is every second, no matter how much
exercise. Without fail.
Without fail.
Just keeps on going.
Like a time.
Max. Oh, whoops.
Well, boys, listen, this is true and dear to our hearts.
We'll search high and low for these studies.
You
yes,
know
we
it.
Will.
You know it. In fact, we're gonna be tracking down a coffee connoisseur place.
Ooh.
In fact, Paul said he found somebody
Ooh.
That is really a coffee. And they I think they either blogged back or made comment about their coffee house.
Ooh.
And they downloaded our section, where the section was that we talked about coffee last time,
yeah.
and gave it out to all their customers.
Cool.
I smell sponsor.
I just we work
coming.
For coffee.
we
like a coffee in me cup.
We should go to our coffee supplier.
Yeah. Well, they give us, well.
This iRescue Radio brought to you by Bayer.
Unnamed coffee place.
Oh, man. Well, listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Drinking coffee reduces risk of Alzheimer's study.
I will never have Alzheimer's. Oh, wait, what? Oh.
Who are you?
Yeah. Where am I?
Does it prevent it or does it treat it after you get it? That's the question.
Yeah.
And what if you have a bad short-term memory loss anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There are perhaps one or two other studies that have shown that coffee can improve some memory functions. But this is the first study directed at dementia and Alzheimer's, and in which the subjects are followed for such a long time, Kivipelto told AFP.
Cool.
Well, Stockholm, AFP,
yeah.
is who did this one. She said it remained unclear exactly how moderate coffee drinking helped delay or avoid the onset of dementia, but pointed out that coffee contains strong antioxidants,
right.
which are known to counter Alzheimer's. Now, you always hear about tea
yeah.
having antioxidants.
Right. There's other foods too.
Yeah, chocolate.
But it's not just cocoa. It's not just the antioxidants. So I think the interesting thing was that they said the coffee helps protect the nerve system.
I know.
Is interesting. You wouldn't think that.
I say take a bath in the stuff.
But because, you know, you think you drink coffee, what does it do to your nerves? Usually it puts you on edge if you drink too much.
See, that's probably what it is. It's like almost like rehabilitation for the nerve endings.
Maybe that's it.
Keeping them moving.
Keeping them moving. There you go. Exercise helps for the nerves.
Protect the nerve system.
Yeah.
Which can also protect against dementia.
Yep. Yeah. They have protects against diabetes.
Yeah.
Which is also, in turn, known to be linked to Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Now, really? Going forward, researchers should try to nail down exactly.
They tried to nail it down.
Try to nail down what exactly it is in coffee that works.
Yeah. Good luck.
It's basically what they said.
You know the bad news of this article, though?
What's that?
They said drinking more than 5 cups does no good. It just says too much is too much. Rats.
That's why I kind of go to decaf after a while. Yeah. Natural Swiss water decaf.
That's good.
Is there antioxidants in decaf?
There's not a study yet.
Hmm.
I don't know.
There probably I made that out up. There, but
yeah.
Decaf, at least you're not getting the caffeine so much.
Well, and you know what I was told is that you can drink enough caffeine to exhaust your adrenal glands.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, because you're always overworking them.
Dan's giving me that look again.
He says, no way,
it can't such, happen. He's such a darling sweetheart.
Mm. Yeah, it was supposed to be downer.
Downer?
No, he's what? Such a darling sweetheart. He's an inquiring mind. He doesn't just take things at face value.
No, it's a good thing.
Well, thank you. But I really like this next story.
Yeah, what is that?
Because it helps my alter ego. Oh.
What if we both hear the same voice?
Plenty of coffee cups have a voice.
Ooh.
People who drink more than 7 cups of coffee a day hallucinate more than those who manage with less of the brew, a study shows.
I have to go to work today. What do you think, Mr. Ooey Gooey Coffee in the Vanilla? I don't think you should go to work today. I think you should stay home with your buddy liver. Oh, thank you, coffee cup.
Talking to your cup. I can just see the voices talking to you. Oh. I only do what the voices in my head tell me to do, kind of thing. Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
Oh, it's time to...
Those with high coffee intake are 3 times more likely to hear a non-existent person's voice than people who drink 1 cup a day.
I do not, and me neither.
But hey. They noted that the tendency to hear voices or have other hallucinations may not be caused by caffeine, but simply reflect the kind of people who drink lots of coffee. It's great. So what does it say?
It's not the coffee. It's me.
It's not the gun that kills people. It's the person pulling the trigger.
That's right. You got it.
The drill bit hole thing again.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, this is the first step towards looking at the wider factors associated with hallucinations.
Well, okay, but are they talking about people that breakfast, lunch, and dinner, it's a cigarette and a cup of coffee? I've met those people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or are they talking about just the average person? Who likes a cup of coffee?
As it says, it's not the coffee, it's the person. What does that say about us? That's scary.
Well, they say that about alcohol, too. That it's not the alcohol that makes you a mean person. It's alcohol that brings out the true... Is that what... That's what I've heard.
It takes the inhibitions away. It causes problems, but...
Truth serum.
That's a great article.
Maybe it just accentuates.
I can't believe people get paid to do these kind of studies.
Well, we could have told them this.
Well, it was the guy's other voice that told him to do it.
I could see Harvey eating this one up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I only, I look at this article and I say, hey.
You're never alone.
Never alone. You got a friend.
Always got a friend. Yeah. Why was it so okay when you're little to have a imaginary friend?
The Lord meant us to be in community.
That's right. That's right. And doggone it, now you can induce it with good coffee.
I could be on an island of coffee beans. You know, it would be just totally surrounded by friends.
Wouldn't it be funny to walk into a coffee house that had cubicles? Just like single port cubicles because there's enough conversation going on with her.
Just have a conversation with yourself all day long.
I always wondered why coffee houses were so loud.
There you go.
If everybody just shut up.
What are all these voices doing?
Oh, man. Sorry about that barking cough. Well,
cough? Where?
What cough?
That must have been something else. I don't know. Somebody else's voice.
Well, once again, nothing normal about this episode of iRescue Radio.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Very wow. Nice. That's
Dan,
did I say that?
You are a philosophical guy.
I told you, he's a deep person.
He's deep.
He's cranky.
He is cranky today.
Well, you know.
He gave me that look like, why am I pulling all the weight today?
Yeah.
Thanks.
If he's doing talking that.
About my waistline again.
If he's doing that, he's got a lot
I'm
of weight
working
to
on it. New Year's resolutions are holding steady.
Are they?
They're not. They're holding steady.
See, that's
I think
why,
it's a good way to put it.
That's why I didn't make any resolutions.
Holding steady.
I'm doing very well on my resolutions.
Staying right there.
I didn't make any, so I'm doing very well.
It's hard to break them if that's, you don't make them, right? It. It's hard to break rules if you don't have rules.
Good to add a couple more, isn't it, Joe?
Well, as usual, we're looking for your comments, feedback, and questions. I don't think anybody ever asks us questions, probably because they're afraid of what the answer might be.
Well, hey, listen, I always say take my advice. I'm not using it. If you want a good answer, email me. I'll give you
an
answer.
I'll make up one.
I'll make up one. That's right.
I can and make for an one. Extra fee, I'll tell you what you want to hear.
Yeah, exactly.
That's beautiful.
That's what you want anyway. Well, from the studios of iRescueRadio.com, we can't wait to hear back from you. Be sure to give your comments, feedback, Rotten Tomatoes. It doesn't matter. Any kind of activity is activity.
Keep it clean.
Keep it clean. Mm-hmm. Some of the feedback's been very good. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that.
Fun, yeah.
Very fun.
Yeah.
So, from the studios of iRescueRadio.com, thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next time. I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
And maybe he won't be so grumpy next time.
I feel like the Seven Dwarves.
Which one are you?
Sneaky. There's four others in here.
Yeah, well, you got coffee. Yeah.
Well, coffee will make you feel that way.
That's right. We're on to something.
Today.
Have a great week. Bye-bye.
If you have anything you would like to contribute to iRescue Radio, you can contact us toll-free at 866-661-5701 or visit our website at iRescueRadio.com. The commentaries in this podcast may not reflect the views of iRescue Radio or any of its sponsors or subsidiaries. iRescue Radio will not be held liable for any damages resulting from the advice given in this podcast.
I'm grumpy.